If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a scripture with you from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll have it on the screen for you. Our theme today is intentional. When we began to talk about doing this event, the Lord laid on my heart the notion that we as men need to be intentional about life, be intentional about serving God, and it just came together, and I know the Lord has something He wants to speak to us today. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be very careful then, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I want to share a few thoughts this morning on how to live intentionally. How to live intentionally. In March of 2000, the small town of Fruita, Colorado, received a unique sculpture on a downtown corner. Lyle Nichols unveiled his 4-foot masterpiece of Mike the Headless Chicken. How many have heard of Mike the Headless Chicken? A few of you have. The plaque was a reminder of what happened nearly 60 years earlier. Lloyd Olson, a farmer, lopped off the head of one of his chickens in the 1940s. Wanting to preserve as much of the neck as possible for dinner, he laid his axe at the base of Mike's skull. But rather than roll over and die, the chicken became a bizarre piece of history. Not only did Olson not eat the bird, he actually started to care for it because Mike survived. Those who know such things theorized that enough of his brainstem was left. And we actually have a picture of Mike. There he is. It's a little hard to see, but there he is. Yeah, Mike, see his head's there on the right? Okay, we got an image. Okay, we put the lights back on. Mike actually lived in this state for 18 months, if you can believe it. He was fed with an eyedropper. When he tried to crow, only a gurgle came out. But he made it into Life magazine, he made it into the Guinness Book of World Records, and was quite an attraction until he choked to death on a kernel of corn, 18 months, as I said, after surviving the chopping block. That's a real picture, it's not doctored. You can go to MikeTheHeadlessChicken.org and check it out for yourself. There's a dot something for everything, right? But the reason I mention that is because some of us go through life a little bit like Mike the Headless Chicken. We don't know where we're going. We have no purpose. We don't really sometimes know if we're going to make it or how long we're going to make it, but we're just going all over the place. Verse 15 of this passage says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Literally, it means watch carefully or closely how you live. The word translated carefully carries the connotation of something done accurately, precisely, or given close attention. Paul is saying that rather than just taking life as it comes, we are to be intentional about how we live. John Carr has said that most people don't lead their life, they accept their life. Living intentionally means taking responsibility for the direction of your life. And I have a video, the video we started to show earlier. We want to show it now. It's by a man named Anthony. I just have his first name, from a website, Break the Twitch. I don't know what Break the Twitch means, and I'm not endorsing his website. But he has a video that I've come across I want to share with you for a few minutes on how to live intentionally. Let's show that.
Anthony from BreakTheTwitch.com here. Today, I'm going to share some perspective about intentional living and what it means to me.
Break the Twitch.
So, based on the broad definition of intentional living, it's any individual's attempt to live in alignment with their beliefs or core belief system. It's really quite a broad definition, and I think it can mean just about anything that you want it to mean. Essentially, if you have a certain belief, intentional living is doing your best to live that on a daily basis. Within the context of my project, Break the Twitch, I see intentional living as the alignment of our short-term actions with our long-term vision. That means that on a day-to-day basis, the hours that we spend, the days that those become, the weeks and months that those days become, are all spent largely in a track that points us in the direction that we want to go with our lives. It just so happens that my mission with Break the Twitch is to help people align short-term actions with long-term vision. I think we all have a particular vision for how we want our lives to go. We want to travel, we want to be healthy. There's just certain things that we see on the horizon and we see as goals that we want to have in our lives. The problem is that our short-term actions, as in the here and the now, don't always line up with that vision. I'm pretty sure that at the turn of the new year, when we're setting our resolutions for what we want for ourselves, there are very few people that are saying, you know what, I hope to spend 341 hours on Facebook this year. Yet, the average American spends 40 minutes or more on Facebook every single day. It's those kinds of short-term actions that do not align with our intentional living goal, our vision for what we want our lives to be. Yet, we get sucked into these things, and that is what I'm talking about with Break the Twitch. The Twitch are those short-term actions that don't really line up very well with what we're actually trying to do, or the things that are fulfilling and important to us. And this is why it's so significant. It always seemed like I was never quite able to travel with family or friends, or do the bigger trips that are like the ones that require a little bit more investment in terms of the ticket price and things like that. Before I started Break the Twitch, I had a bit of a personal renaissance. I was a frequent shopper on Amazon.com. That one-click purchase button made my life really easy. I would just buy $15, $20 items, just kind of all the time. There'd be boxes coming to my house, and although I never went into debt because of it, it always seemed like I was just scraping by at the end of every single month. Boxes were coming to the house. It was exciting. It was like Christmas every day. Got to open things. And then eventually those gadgets and cables and different things that I would constantly be ordering would just be forgotten. I largely don't remember any of the things that I bought over that time. One day I had to go back and look for a specific item that I had bought, but on the website, Amazon only has 6 months of order history. So I actually had to export a PDF, a document of 4 years of my Amazon order history. And I started digging in. After some careful charting, I realized a shocking conclusion. Those $15 and $20 purchases had added up to like 8 international round-trip plane tickets worth of money that I could have spent doing something that I had always wanted to do. And all of a sudden, the concept for Break the Twitch was born. This idea that my short-term actions, that click, click, click on the one-click purchase button on Amazon, was not aligning with my true passion for traveling and visiting people and spending time with my family and friends. I would venture to ask you this. What is the long-term vision that you have for your life? What are the things that sometimes seem out of reach or a little bit harder to get to? And what are some short-term actions that you could change on a daily, hourly basis to help you reach those goals? As always, thank you so much for spending your time here with me. I appreciate you doing that, and I would love to hear from you. So if you did enjoy this video, please subscribe and you'll get notifications about my future videos on YouTube. That's it for now. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, now, that I think expresses a valid principle. But I want, as Christian men this morning, I want us to take that and apply it in a biblical sense. In Ephesians 5, Paul explores this same concept of living intentionally in a Christian context. If you believe, like I do, that our relationship with God is not just one aspect of life to be somehow squeezed in with all the others, but should in fact be the very center of our lives and impact every other area of life, then we should be more intentional about our Christian life than anything else. I'm going to say that again. We should be more intentional about our walk with God than our Amazon purchases, our time on Facebook. As valid as the points he was making are, we should be more intentional about our walk with God than anything else. So for the next few minutes, I want to look at a few principles from Ephesians 5 on living intentionally, how to live intentionally. I think the first principle we need to understand about how to live intentionally is this. It's to be strategic. To be strategic in our lives. Paul says in verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. John Maxwell, the noted author of Leadership and Personal Development, says that an intentional life, I want you to catch this, is deliberate, consistent, and willful. Deliberate, consistent, and willful. He also says that 90% of people just accept their life as it comes rather than living intentionally. Be strategic, making the most of every opportunity. Some people have good intentions. Living intentionally is not the same thing as having good intentions, if I can make that distinction. Some people have good intentions, but never or seldom follow through. And when we have good intentions, let's be honest, we want others to give us credit for our good intentions, right? I really intended to, I wanted to, I was planning to, and everyone says, well, you know, he hadn't really accomplished what he set out to do, but he had good intentions. And the unspoken thing is, let's pat him on the back because he really meant well. But you know what? Good intentions, you know that, we know this. Good intentions without follow through, without action to make them real, don't accomplish a thing. Isn't that true? So, as men today, let's sweep aside, and we've all done it, let's sweep aside this pretension that somehow our good intentions are worth much when they're not followed by solid action. It may help us sleep at night and feel better about ourselves, but we need to be real with ourselves this morning. Isn't that true? I often say I'm half Italian, but my appetite is all Italian. And I made a decision this summer to lose some weight. Some of you that know me notice I've lost some weight. I've lost a little bit over 60 some pounds since the summer. And won't get into how I did it, but I will tell you how I didn't do it. I didn't do it by following my decades-long practice of throwing in my mouth anything I felt like, because that's the way I've lived practically my entire adult life. And I just got to a point where I said, I have to make some changes. I have to do things differently. And so everybody has their own methodology for losing weight, but I decided I was going to watch just basic things that wouldn't surprise you. Watch what I eat, watch how much I eat, watch when I eat, get some exercise. I've always hated exercise. But I said, I have to lose weight, I have to get more healthy. I'm still in process, I'm not there yet. I had periods where I've lost large amounts of weight before. About 20 years ago, I lost almost 70 pounds, and over the next 20 years, I put on about 100. So I still have a ways to go. My point in that is not to draw attention to myself, it's to say that the way I was living, nothing was going to change just because I wanted it to. Nothing was going to change because I said, man, it would really be nice to wear clothes a few sizes smaller. I had to be intentional about what I did. I had to make changes. Good intentions were not going to get it done. I ask you this morning respectfully, in what areas of life have you just been accepting things as they are, as they unfold, rather than strategizing how to go in the direction you need to? Your life as a Christian, as a husband or a father, as a businessman or an employee, as a church member, what opportunities have you not made the most of? What opportunities to right the ship have you been letting go by? It's been said that the only guarantee that tomorrow will be better is that you become better today. Guys, I believe that if we're to live intentionally, it's time to strategize. We strategize about a lot of things, don't we? It's time to strategize about our walk with God in our life. It's time to seize opportunities. It's time to live intentionally. The first principle, as I said, to do that, we need to be strategic about how we live our lives. What's the second thing we find here? The second principle of living intentionally, it's this. We need to be reflective. We need to be reflective. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This has to do with priorities. This has to do with what we choose to be intentional about. A number of people might be intentional about some things, career, making money, acquiring possessions, but not the least bit intentional when it comes to their spiritual life, their family, serving in their church, and other vitally important things in life. A major theme of Paul's in this book, Ephesians, this letter, a major theme of his is the purpose of God for the church as a whole and for the individual. We need to pray and think about and investigate what specific purpose or purposes God has for us in life. If we haven't done that already, and I would submit that even if we have, that needs to be an ongoing source of, or an ongoing issue of prayer and thinking and investigating. God, what do you have for me? What's next? What do you want to accomplish through my life or through this season of my life? So many of us invest a great deal of time and energy and finances and other personal resources in things that ultimately don't matter. Someone once said, I finally reached the top of the ladder of success only to find out it was leaning against the wrong wall. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be reflective. I know a lot of times I don't want to stereotype. We kind of stereotyped in that little fun video at the beginning, differences between men and women. And that was for entertainment purposes only, okay? Don't go talking to your wives about that. We don't want to get you in trouble. You can do well enough on that on your own. But not to generalize, but a lot of us, we don't like to spend time reflecting. Let's be honest. Spend time thinking. We just, you know, and some of us, we pride ourselves on, man, I just take life as it comes. Man, I just like to go. I just like to move. Well, that's the problem. We're like Mike the Headless Chicken. We move, but we're not getting anywhere. We need to be reflective. We need to understand what God's will is. We need to understand the plan and the pattern for our lives that God has for us. My people in our church have heard me say many times, we may have plans for our lives. God's plans for us are far greater and far grander than our own. Patrick Morley is a well-known author and leader of Christian businessmen. He wrote the book Man in the Mirror and some other books. We've used some of his materials here at our church. But his impact today can largely be credited to a decision he made years ago. His business was finally starting to take off. For the first time, he was getting offers and invitations to be a part of the business community's in crowd. He said yes to every invitation that came his way, and time with his children was put at a minimum as he gave more attention to somewhat shallow relationships that were established solely for financial gain. Although he was oblivious to what was happening, his wife Patsy had a clear understanding of that. When he told her, "We've arrived," she said, "Yes, but at the wrong place." That's that ladder of success against the wrong wall. He then began to realize the folly of his pursuits, and one night as he was reviewing his bulging calendar, he thought of a way to prioritize his days. He pondered to his wife, "Why not prioritize everything we do on the basis of who's going to be crying at our funeral?" He said, "This simple question saved our family. Who's going to cry at my funeral is a great way for prioritizing how we live our lives." I like what Lou Holtz, the former great football coach of Notre Dame — I have the jersey on today, we have a good year this year, so I had to represent today. Lou Holtz asked the question when considering the importance of an issue: will it matter on my deathbed? Will it matter on my deathbed? I guarantee you, none of us, when we're on our deathbed, is going to say, "Man, I just wish I spent a little more time making some money. Man, I just wish I got that last promotion. Man, I really wish I put a few more hours every day in at the office." Will it matter on my deathbed? Paul here puts it this way: don't be foolish by not prioritizing God's will over everything else. This morning, how much of what you're intentional about in life, if anything, is in direct alignment with the will of God for your life? Are the things you're intentional about going to matter on your deathbed, at your funeral, in eternity? For the Christian, to live intentionally is to do to the best of our ability whatever is necessary to have every area of our lives conform to the will of God. Some, or maybe all of us, need to have some quiet time with God for the express purpose of self-evaluation. We need to ask ourselves the hard questions about how we live our lives, be brutally honest with ourselves, and then take whatever corrective action is necessary. That's intentional living. So we need to be strategic in how we live. To live intentionally, we also need to be reflective. Third thing we see here is we need to be focused. Paul says here in verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That word translated in the NIV, debauchery, literally means that which is unsafe, not to be recovered, lost beyond recovery, then that which is abandoned to sensuality and lust, dissoluteness, debauchery, revelry. It carries the connotation of waste. And so what he's saying here is, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to wastefulness. Now the contrast here, when he says instead be filled with the Spirit, is between surrendering ourselves to something which causes us to lose control and being under the control of God's Spirit. Now, Christians disagree about whether or not believers should drink alcohol. The Bible does not specifically prohibit it. But the Bible is very clear that drunkenness is always sin. Losing control in that way is always sinful. And by the way, if you say, "I got a little bit buzzed," that's a little bit drunk. It's the same thing. Drunkenness is always sin. But the larger point that I don't want us to miss here is not to lose control, not to lose focus. Paul is telling us here, don't be distracted from living intentionally. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we in our church tradition and our set of beliefs, we believe that that all believers have the Holy Spirit within them as they receive Christ. The Bible says it's a Spirit that draws us to Christ. But we believe that the book of Acts teaches there's a subsequent experience to salvation whereby we do not just have a measure of the Spirit, but we are filled with the Spirit of God. Your church tradition may see that differently. But the point here is that rather than losing control, whether it's alcohol or anything else, materialism, whatever it might be. We instead need to be under the control of God's Holy Spirit. When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, that in the Greek is ongoing action. Be continually filled with the Spirit. How many know we leak spiritually? We'll be at a great service. We'll be at a great day like this, man. We'll just feel the presence of God, and we'll just go out of here like gangbusters. Then what happens? Tomorrow morning, life happens. Or Monday morning, life happens. Say, Lord, I need a fresh filling. I need a fresh touch of your Spirit. Pitchers in Major League Baseball aren't paid for their hitting. There are a few good hitting pitchers in the major leagues. There have been throughout the years, but that's not how they make their money. American League pitchers don't even bat unless they're playing in a National League park. Their focus is on pitching. Some of them take pride when they get a hit. You know, it's a big deal. Hey, pitcher got a hit. Alert the media, you know. But that's not what they're paid millions of dollars for. They're paid for how well they throw that ball across the plate, and they're focused on that. Which highlights the fact that to live intentionally about things that are important, there are things in life we have to say no to. There are things in life that we say, while maybe, you know, innocuous and, you know, okay in themselves, for me or for you in a particular context, they may be getting in the way of me living intentionally for God. So we have to learn what to say no to. This morning I asked the question, what is there that is distracting you from that kind of intentional living? What has control over you today? We won't like to admit it, but things control us. We give things in life the ability to control us. Is it alcohol, drugs, pornography, materialism, bitterness, unresolved anger, a hurt in your past, laziness, unhealthy relationships, difficult circumstances? Intentional living says that there may be difficulties in getting where I need to go. There may be delays. There may be detours, but I am not going to let anything distract me from living intentionally for God. Living intentionally means saying no to some things so I can say yes to the right things. Living intentionally. As I conclude today, I ask, if you feel a little bit like Mike the headless chicken, isn't it time to start living intentionally? If so, each of us can follow Paul's plan for living intentionally by first of all being strategic, by first of all planning, like we plan other things in life, meticulously planning. How am I going to live intentionally for Jesus? By being reflective, understanding which direction God has for your life, understanding what He desires you to live intentionally in. And then thirdly, being focused, not letting anything distract you or me from God's plan and God's purpose in our lives.